Hey, everybody. So Eric and I are going to finish out our segment of this class talking about the primary and secondary works of the Spirit. To give you a forecast, what we plan to do in the next segment of the class is really talk about the application of the teachings of the Spirit we have gone through in this class, discussing how the Spirit applies to worship, to witness, to life, to character, to virtue. And that's going to be some of just the applications of what we've really tried to present and really try to make just very practical and demonstrate why a proper biblical understanding of the Spirit is so important. But before we do that, we need to address the question, what do we do about primary works of the Spirit? What do we do about secondary works of the Spirit? So the question I think that we have to deal with here is, does the primary or the work of the Spirit continue today? Does the primary or the secondary work of the Spirit continue today? Or has there been a cessation? A key word that we're going to use here, cessationism, C-E-S-S-A-T-I-O-N. Has there been a cessation of these things? Now, we'll be short here. The view that Eric and I take of this is the primary work of the Spirit continues today, but the secondary confirming works of the Spirit have ceased. Let's unravel that claim. Back to Hebrews 2. Well, these are Hebrews 2 a few classes ago. I'll read the first four verses again, please.
Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will.
So let's go through this one more time to make sure we're clear here. What is the primary work of the Spirit?
The declaration of God's message to creation.
Exactly. And that message brings about what?
Transformation in our lives. Yeah.
Exactly. So does the Spirit continue to work among believers today in that way?
Yes, primarily, of course.
Yeah. Yes, of course. What texts demonstrate that to us, Eric? Titus 3 is the one I go to. Do you have one that you like to go to for that?
Man, I don't know. I guess that'd be the best one after you said that. But
yeah, let's look at that real quick again, y'all. This is a really important one. Titus 3, beginning in verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Spirit, whom he has poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by grace, we may become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Does God continue to give washing and regeneration and renewal and mercy and righteousness by the Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. Amen, y'all. And, you know, the other one that I would really look at here is John 7. We've looked at this passage before, but I think it's worthwhile to look at again. Back in John 7, verses 37 through 39, here, drawing from so many Old Testament passages, but especially Ezekiel 47, the text tells us in John 7, verse 37, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who had faith in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. All who come to faith in Jesus, okay, which faith is a whole nother area for us to tackle. I have some lessons online on the Man 6 website you can listen to about that. But all who give allegiance and fidelity and faithfulness to God will receive of God's Holy Spirit, okay? So looking, for example, like at Ephesians 3, looking at Romans 8, we've looked at both of those passages in previous classes. The Spirit continues to indwell and lead and guide and sanctify and regenerate and cleanse and transform and give life to. Am I missing any words here? I mean, there's so many things the Spirit continues to do today, okay? And I want to be very dogmatic about this. Although we take the view that the secondary works of the Spirit have ceased, we must not think that the work of the Spirit totally has ceased. It's very, 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 very important for us to get here, y'all, is even though there are certain things the Spirit has done that no longer operate today, He is still alive and at work among Christians who, in obedient faithfulness to God, are living out lives of spirituality and living out lives of faithfulness and righteousness to Him. So again, we have to be very emphatic about that. The Spirit is still at work. We just have to be careful when we say what way He is at work. All right. Well, let's go back to an earlier analogy I gave, and this is from the Hebrews 2 passage, Eric. Remember, monthly I send in my copy codes so that I can do my work of preaching. Does my work of preaching ever stop?
No.
No, not until I breathe my last breath by the gift of the Spirit. But once I send in copy codes, it's accomplished the purpose. Once you've unwrapped the present, you discard the wrapping paper, or at least reuse it for something else if you're really cheap. Once that secondary thing is done, typically the major thing still continues. Notice Hebrews 2 verse 4 one more time.
Sorry, I was just thinking.
Go ahead, sorry.
I'll take your bows and your tissue paper, but you can keep the wrapping paper.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Hebrews 2 verse 4.
While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, by gifts of the Holy Spirit, distributed according to His will.
So, we've gone through this many times now, but let's make sure we all get this. The signs and wonders and miracles and gifts, what purpose did they serve?
Verification.
Verification. Confirmation of the message. Here's the question that I would like to ask for anyone who does believe that signs and wonders, miracles and gifts of the Spirit continue today. What new message is being confirmed that has not yet been given? Let me ask that one more time. If we're claiming that the secondary work of the Spirit, which is the confirmation through signs and wonders and miracles and gifts, if we're claiming that continues today, what new message is being offered?
And confirmed.
And confirmed, exactly. The reason that I am very hesitant to claim that the Spirit's secondary miraculous work continues today is we don't have a new message that is given today. Rather, the message has been delivered and continues to be heard and spoken, that there no longer needs to be confirmation of it. So that'd be reason number one. We're going to try to give you a few reasons here for a cessationist view. But that, I think, would have to be the major one is, as you work through the Old Testament, you only see these miraculous signs of the Spirit come up under very special times. What new message, what new incredible thing is God delivering that has not yet been delivered?
And what more confirmation do you need than seeing the transformation of the lives?
Absolutely.
Of those people who at one point reveled in their sin and took so much pride in the things in which they did by their own willpower. What more confirmation do you need outside of seeing the transformation that God's Spirit has brought within the lives of those people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very well said. Very well said. Yeah. And I think, y'all, that could right there be a really good second reason. When you look through Romans 8, and this really, I think, is Romans 8 comes full force here. When Paul is talking about the indwelling and the guidance and the leading of the Spirit in Romans 8, even the walking by the Spirit, he never in Romans 8 says, and we know this because we speak in tongues. We know this because we prophesy. We know this because we do miracles. Rather, in Romans 8, how do you know you walk in step with the Spirit?
Because it's evident in your life. You know, it's demonstrable to those around you.
Yes, absolutely.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and the same as in Galatians 5, you know, those who bear the fruit of the Spirit, who walk in step with the Spirit, they live it in their life. And I think, as you said, Eric, that is far greater testimony today to the Spirit's work in our lives than simply tongue speaking and miraculous signs. Perhaps we're too enamored with the wrapping paper at times. All right, well, let's really give a third reason here. So we've just given two. The first I gave was for cessationism. The first reason we gave was there's not a new message that needs confirmation. The second reason we offered was you look at the transformation in life by the primary work rather than the addition of tongues and prophecies, etc. The third reason we would like to offer is there is no longer the laying on of hands by the apostles. Look back to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. So we've looked at this text before, but I think it's worth looking at again. Here in Acts 8, you have had a couple of the apostles come to Samaria. And notice here what they're told. Peter and John tell the Samaritans, Acts 8, verses 17 and 18, please.
Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit."
So as you go throughout the book of Acts, with the exception of Cornelius, what is the only way you see people receiving miraculous signs of the Spirit?
The apostles laying on their hands.
Exactly. Are there any apostles alive today?
They're not.
Not that we know of. So because there's no apostles to continue these, there's a cessation of these gifts. For Cornelius, we dealt with Cornelius in the last class. That's a very, very, very special example in the scripture. That is the exception rather than the rule. But the only way you see the vast majority of disciples who, even there, it was a minority who received these miraculous signs, with the exception of Cornelius, they only received it through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Without the apostles alive to pass these on today, there's not this channel of miraculous gifts to be offered. Rather, you have the primary work of the Spirit, the giving of new life that continues by means of the Word. All right, that's reason three. Reason four, the edification of the work, of the edifying work of the church has changed. Look over to Ephesians chapter 4. Look over to Ephesians chapter 4. We see the importance of the work of the Spirit among the church collective. Look at Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16, please.
And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, and by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love.
So this is, to me, the most empowering passage in the New Testament about the edification of the church. We read about the Spirit earlier in the chapter. If you look back to verse 3, you have the unity of the Spirit. You look to verse 4, you have the one Spirit. You look to verse 8, you have the gifts that he's given by means of the Spirit. And then if you look at verse 11, here you have apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. All of which are given, verse 12, for what purpose?
Equipping, building up.
Now, this is the point that I would like to make here. Simply because there are not miraculous works of the Spirit today does not mean that the apostles and prophets have ceased working. The way that they work is different. now that the apostles and prophets are no longer with us, how do they work among the church today?
I would say they still work through like a verification and substantiation process, but it's not so much like forward looking as it is backward looking.
Exactly. Through the scripture, the apostles and prophets are still working, but it's simply that we now have the record of their work rather than their living spoken word by the Spirit himself that is guiding the church today. And so some would argue that the only way the church is going to be edified and built up is by the continuation of the Spirit's work. I agree with that 100%. But I don't think that necessitates the continuation of miraculous gifts.
Right.
It simply means that the way that the apostles and prophets work is in a different form than it was in the first century.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Reason five, and this is going to be our last one, is the perfect has come. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. We looked at 1 Corinthians 12, and I think it was our last class together. Here you see the Spirit given for the purpose of edification. Look at Acts chapter 12, excuse me, 1 Corinthians 12, very similar to Ephesians 4 note, verses 27 through 31.
Now you are the body of Christ. Individually, you are members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way.
So here, all of these different gifts, all of these different roles are for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. So all of this is for building up the body of Christ. But like I said in Ephesians 4, the nature of some of these works have changed 2,000 years on this side of the cross. Paul tells them, though, in verse 31, desire the higher gifts. What is this higher gift?
The primary work.
You go down to chapter 13, he makes abundantly clear. It's going to be love. Look at verse 8. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. We know in part and prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. I became a man. I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, for I shall be fully known, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, but of these three, the greatest is love. This is a really complicated passage that is just filled with uncertainties and difficulties. What is the perfect? When is this going to come? What does it mean to see face to face? Y'all can listen to sermons online that I've given where we've tried to exegete this a bit more clearly. But Eric, give me just the gist here. What's Paul saying here as it relates to the work of the Spirit?
The secondary work of the Spirit is miraculous and incredible, and it's just awe-inspiring, but there is a greater, more excellent thing the Holy Spirit gives, and that is the way it transforms your life so that you can love, so you can find joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control within your life.
Amen.
And allow that to work not only in your life, but in all those in which you touch.
Absolutely.
That is the greater, more excellent thing the Holy Spirit is giving you and all. It's offering you. Yeah.
It's not just speaking with the tongue, but it's transformation of the heart by the Spirit. And that really seems to be the thing that Paul is really wanting the Corinthians to understand, is it's not just working miracles with my hands, speaking tongues with my mouth, but by the Spirit's work, being transformed in my heart through love, and then growing up to mature manhood, to growing up to completion. And that seems to be the thing that all of us should desire. So we've tried to give five reasons that we take a cessationist approach Hopefully, working together, these make a cumulative case for the cessation of miraculous gifts, while also remembering the primary regenerative, sanctifying, life-giving work of the Spirit continues. Going through these five, there's not a new message to confirm. Look at the life. Don't look at miracles. No longer do we have apostles for the laying on of hands. The work of the apostles and prophets have changed, and the perfect has come. And so then, let us with that in mind, be grateful that God continues to work among us by his Spirit to give us new life and to give us a new creation to walk by the Spirit. All right, Eric, close this out.
I would just like to say that, you know, if you, me and you sit down and do a few of these at a time, and, you know, if there's any questions or apprehensions or any, just anything you would like us to clear up, let us know. And, you know, we can take some time to kind of think through those things and come up with some kind of some ideas and solutions and try to propose those. And, you know, hopefully we can just all try to see more clearly the Spirit at work in the world and in our own lives.
Amen.
And if there's something you would like us to clear up more, please let us know. And we'll do our best to answer however we can. You know?
Amen. 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 You know, going back to this 1 Corinthians 12 passage, and even Ephesians 4, the Spirit has given a body for our edification. It is only through connecting with one another and discoursing with one another and discussion and in communion and fellowship that we are going to come to this greater knowledge of God's will. And that's what we ourselves have to be in this community for, is to where we are talking and conversing and building up one another and even coming to a greater love of the Spirit through these things.
Thank you, Ryan.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Eric. Well, y'all, we will pick up with you next time by applying some of these ideas, but echoing Eric, please reach out to us as you have any lingering questions or additional insights to Scripture, and we look forward to hearing from you.